The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
This is Senior Solutions with Eric Stewart on 105.9 FM and AM 630, WMAL.
Welcome to the Senior Solutions Real Estate Show, brought to you by the Senior Solutions team of the Eric Stewart Group of Long & Foster. If you've missed an episode or find any information that we talk about today helpful to a friend or a family member, send them to our website, ericstewartgroup.com. Or you can find Senior Solutions on Spotify as a podcast. Stuart Rosenthal joins me in the studio this morning. Good morning, Stuart.
Good morning, Eric.
Stuart, interesting article in this month's Beacon newspaper, and it revolves around how do you have a conversation with your doctor and really get a full sort of sense of all of the different options that you have as a patient, and how I think all of us feel at times that we're getting a doctor's preference, maybe, not necessarily a full and complete understanding. I understand the article really kind of addresses that, and I wanted to ask you to share us a little bit about that.
Thank you. Yeah, sure. The point where it comes from, really, is the American Society of Clinical Oncology, the cancer specialists out there, because two-thirds of all cancer patients are 65 or older.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I was surprised by that statistic as well. So the issue is that, as you know, some of the treatments are really very harsh. Some chemotherapies can really take a lot out of you, and some people can't do their they can't take care of themselves when they're overcoming a chemo session, for example. Mm-hmm. It may in the long run be the best thing for them, but it's very hard to survive it and take care of yourself. So the question is, how many patients know what they're getting into before these things happen? And how many of the times are doctors making decisions for their older patients thinking, they probably wouldn't want to go through all that. I'll just recommend Y instead. So the point is, it needs to be more communication.
Okay.
So they call it now a geriatric assessment. It's not the most felicitous term, perhaps, but the idea is they want the doctor and the patient to sit down and discuss physical well-being, mental fitness, along with their social situation and their emotional sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do they really need? What do they want? What are they willing to go through in order to have a treatment that might provide them longer life?
Okay, so what they're willing to go through is the question. For instance, a friend of mine, his father, they found out that he had a stomach cancer. His dad's about 81 years of age. Mm-hmm. The suggestion was to go through chemotherapy as a means of handling the issue. And the father said, you know, that's going to be a kind of a miserable way of life for me to go through that process.
Right.
Can we just do surgical intervention at this point?
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, they went in. They were able to remove the entire cancer, and there was nothing left behind. And, you know, of course it can come back,
yeah,
right?
That's a great solution for
but
now.
It's a great solution.
Yeah.
So there was a choice there that he made based on his desire to live well.
Exactly.
But also to try to eradicate the issue at the same time.
Right. You've really hit on it. You know, what does living well mean for the particular individual? It might be different things for different people.
Okay, so how does this conversation go if you have a doctor who maybe isn't willing to give you the time? What do you think?
Well, I think when people are looking for cancer specialists, one of the things they look at most is, do they have a relationship and a rapport with that doctor? Can they discuss things with them? If the doctor is like, no, this is what we're going to do and that's all there is to it, then you might want to find another doctor. But one thing I will point out is these geriatric assessments, which are being recommended by this Society of Clinical Oncologists, is not covered by Medicare.
Oh.
So it's a private pay kind of thing, unless your doctor will subsume it under something else that they're already doing.
Okay.
So you got to keep that in mind, too, until it becomes more well accepted, as which it should be, of course, as the way to go.
Well, it's the – you know, my father is a retired surgeon, and I – in fact, the way I approach real estate, I have kind of the same mindset is, let me give my client every bit of information to help them make the best decision.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes – my clients will call me and say, hey, I'd like to talk with you about selling our house. We're not sure if we want to sell or rent it.
Uh-huh.
What do you think? And so I'll go through expressing what would the rental look like, what would the sale look like. And I don't handle rentals, but I try to give them the best information. And then I can refer them to an agent that manages rentals that would take care of them.
That's right.
And ultimately, they've made a decision of what's in their best interest. But it's only made after they know all of the options.
That's great.
And I think it's the right way to do business. The challenge is that not everybody thinks that way.
Right. And doctors are being pressed so much now not to spend much time with their patients and not being able to bill all the time they really do spend. So to ask them to spend more time on one of these assessments is asking a lot from somebody. So you have to make sure you've got the right doctor or that you're willing to pay for the extra time.
Do you think there's a good resource for finding physicians that would actually provide this service?
That's a very good idea. I don't know the answer to that, but you know, that might be something to take up with the American Society of Clinical Oncology. They're the ones recommending these as new guidelines. So they ought to be able to talk to their own doctors and say, look, this is something that you ought to be more willing to do. Yeah.
That makes sense to me. My back hurts. So when we think about putting our houses on the market, we often find that our seniors are putting houses on the market because they're having trouble staying safe at home.
Yes, absolutely.
That the house becomes a burden, actually mm-hmm. becomes an encumbrance in their daily living.
Yes.
And it's a precipitating event, something that occurs that causes maybe a knee isn't working quite the same way. I've noticed this recently when I went out running. I'm 55. So I've noticed that my running isn't quite as pleasurable unless I really stretch and really work my IT band. Mm-hmm. My IT band, and we all have it, is from your hip and it inserts, I believe that's correct, it inserts around the knee. And so it becomes very tight and rolling it out has been very helpful. Mm. It pulls my kneecap and makes my knees uncomfortable if I'm in small spaces. Uh-huh. Or if I go running. But if I roll my IT band out, I'm actually able to run and perform just like I used to.
That's great.
It's been great. Now, that's working for me now at 55.
Right.
When I'm 65, right. It may not be. So,
right. Right.
You know, I think that there's some investments. There's six investments that any a homeowner could make in their house to make it more manageable to live there and to live there longer. So one of the first, in fact, the first investment that's made are grab bars. It is the first investment that seniors make when they're thinking about aging in place is a grab bar.
Very inexpensive, very simple to do.
Exactly.
It helps you get safety in the bathroom where so many of the accidents occur.
Right.
Makes a lot of sense.
Right. Where where your biceps, your triceps, and so on, you're able to push yourself out of a tub. If there's atrophy in the muscles and you are better with your – like my biceps are strong. I've got a shoulder impingement at this moment, so my ability to go overhead is difficult.
Right.
But my biceps are fine. If I could reach and grab something and pull myself out, mm-hmm. then I'm in good shape.
Or catch yourself on the way down if you have a slip or something.
That's
like that.
A good point. So that's been helpful. Another one is considering putting a ramp up to the front door of your house.
Right. Absolutely.
So simply, you know, because shuffling versus stepping, especially as our knees are getting weaker mm-hmm. and as we mm-hmm. get older, is a consideration.
Right.
And from a resale perspective, if you're going to stay in your home, don't worry about putting in a modest ramp up to the front door, up to a side door. It can be removed prior to selling
right.
for whoever wants to buy it.
But so many of these things are what they call universal design techniques, the things that everybody does eventually find useful, you know, whether it's for young children and you have strollers or whether it's older people who have walkers, whatever. I mean, these things can be helpful to have.
I mean, you think about the ADA and you think about even down at the Natural History Museum, there's a massive renovation on the front of the Natural History Museum where they're building a ramp from the street level mm-hmm. On Independence all the way up
to... it's tall.
It's tall,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But you had to enter from the rear side, from the Independence side,
right,
rather,
right.
to come in. Now you can enter on the other side, on the mall-facing side,
right.
probably in about 6 to 7 or 8 months. And they're building it out. It's going to be the same kind of stone.
Nice.
So it'll be a back and forth, you know,
right.
similar to like
right.
a switchback.
Right, uh-huh.
right? Yeah.
Sure.
But that's a good example
Absolutely.
Of universal accommodation.
Right.
And not because I necessarily need to take the ramp, but sometimes I would just prefer to take the ramp. It's just a nice and an easier walk up a ramp.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other investments, can you guess what one of the other investments that happens to be one of the top investments that age and placers would make in their house?
A main floor bedroom and bath.
Excellent. Making a first floor half bath into a full bath.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there isn't space for that, but an accommodation can be taken out of another space.
Right.
A half bath may back up to a living room.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps we cut a space out of the living room that mm-hmm. accommodates that full bath. And maybe mm-hmm. that living room becomes the bedroom.
Right.
And where the half bath has become a full bath and juts into the living room, you can build a closet next to it.
Sure.
So that wall seems like it's always been like it
right.
is.
Right.
So that's it. What? Any other guesses?
Oh, well, those are all of the biggies. Let's see. I mean, there's kitchen remodeling things that make it easier to function in the kitchen.
Certainly
lower counters and lower shelves and that kind
of
thing.
If you're in a wheelchair or
right.
you know, you're having trouble getting up, that's right. definitely one. So you've got a ramp. You've got a first floor
If you
master.
Have stairs, I guess you want a stair lift or something like
a
that.
A stair lift is a very easy accommodation. And it isn't inexpensive to buy them if you buy them new. But what we find in real estate is we consistently see homeowners who are downsizing from a home that they've been in for decades, that they've gone through putting a stair lift in, they're wanting to sell those. And they're not that expensive to buy them on the resale market.
That's a good point.
So consideration.
And there's something you may have or may have not seen yet. There's the new elevators that are self-contained that you can just put into without having to build a whole multi-structure thing. There's often space in a regular staircase to insert one of these single-person elevators.
You know, we didn't talk about this beforehand, but that was the next one.
All right, good.
And it is actually a tube.
Yes.
It's a tube that is about 2 feet in diameter, and you essentially drill a hole, like in a corkscrew into the floor upstairs, and you put the tube in, you step into the tube. Now, you can't carry stuff up, but you can get yourself up and down, and then when it comes time to sell, you can just patch the floor, and you're in good shape, and you're on your way.
Very cool, and they're not that expensive, like you say. Yeah.
And when it comes time to move, you can patch the first floor, patch the second floor fairly easily, and remove my favorite Martian-looking tube that drops in. Or what was the other show?
Lost in Space.
Lost in Space, right. You'd step into the tube and whoosh, disappear, right? I want to mention Helen Flynn, who you all know, and she'll have a brief segment in the next segment of our show today. She is going to have two seniors roundtables, one on May 13th from 1 to 2:30 in Rockville, Maryland, and again on May 15th from 10:30 in the morning until 12 p.m. in McLean, Virginia. We'd like to invite you, if you're a senior citizen, you're thinking about maybe aging in place, want to know how to approach that better, or considering possibly making a move, want to know what kinds of improvements you can make to get the highest and best price, RSVP by calling our toll-free number at 800-900-9104, and Helen will give you all the details, or our staff will. That's 800-900-9104 for our seniors' upcoming roundtables, May 13th, 1 to 2:30, and May 15th, 10:30 to 12, and of course, these are free. We're going to take a brief break in a moment. I do want to encourage you, if you're thinking about getting your home ready to go on the market next year in the early spring market, to call us today, because we're actually preparing the outside of our listings now by taking pictures of the exterior so that we have great photos of the exterior when we go to the market in the middle of February, when the market is cold and the house doesn't look as good. So call us about that if you're interested at 800-900-9104. That's 800-900-9104, our website, ericstewartgroup.com. We'll be right back with more Senior Solutions in just a moment.
105.9 FM and AM 630, WMAL.
Have you heard the commercials that yell, "We have the buyers"? Well, it's not very good for you if you're a buyer, because frankly, you don't want to compete with all those thousands of people, right? You want an agent who has all the buyers? Nah, you want the agent who's got all the listings. That's Eric Stewart and the Eric Stewart Group of Long & Foster. You want access to listings that have not come to the market? Then Google Eric Stewart Group right now or call 800-900-9104. That's ericstewartgroup.com or 800-900-9104.
Hi, I'm Helen Flynn, Realtor and Seniors Real Estate Specialist with Long & Foster. You've heard me on Pointing You Home with Eric Stewart on Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. Do you or a loved one have questions about where you go when you can no longer maintain a large home or want to learn about the real estate process? Join me in McLean or Rockville at our Senior Solutions Roundtables, where we will discuss those questions and much more. Just Google the Eric Stewart Group right now to register.
Now, back to Senior Solutions on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Big house, big car, backseat, full bar. Houseboat won't float, the bank won't tote enough. Too much stuff.
Welcome back. One of my favorite newspapers is the Wall Street Journal. It's a good, balanced paper that covers many different topics, from economics to healthcare, and I encourage you to consider subscribing. I enjoy my subscription. I don't always read every issue, but recently read a great article about surviving solo. When a woman is widowed or she's divorced, she's going to face a unique set of financial challenges, and figuring out what to do with the real estate, and this goes for men as well, so is often the most challenging. So if you think about retirement, that day should be a joyful milestone. And for Nancy Dickinson Hazard, she made a heartbreaking decision to stop working and help care for her husband, John, whose Parkinson's disease had advanced to the point where he required hospice care, and unfortunately, a year later, he died. After he passed, I was kind of numb for about a year and kind of floated around, said Mrs. Dickinson Hazard. And this is truly what we call, at Widow Care, we call this the widow's fog, this period of time that comes after the loss of a spouse. And she's a 72-year-old Indianapolis resident. She was the former chief executive of an international nursing organization and an executive coach, so quite accomplished. Because of their longer life expectancies, women are particularly vulnerable to one of life's harshest realities, the death of a spouse. So the average age of widowhood is 59.4 years old, wow, according to the Census Bureau. What I found, and Stuart is here with me in studio again, I found that 25% of widows are under the age of 45. There are it's a pretty dramatic number of widows that are younger in America. Another cruel fate also comes from divorce, where studies have shown that the economic costs of divorce fall more heavily on women than on men. So in situations of divorce or the premature death of a spouse, they are unexpected life events that can throw you for a loop, according to Marcy Keckler, who's a vice president of financial advice strategy at Minneapolis-based Ameriprise Financial. Real estate decisions can be particularly daunting, she added, because of the emotional attachments and, in some cases, the needs of the couple's children. So we've all seen widowhood in our lives. We've all seen it. About a year after Miss Dickinson Hazard's husband died, she used a line of credit against her 5,600-square-foot home to buy an 1,800-square-foot house nearby. She then sold the larger home and turned her line of credit into a 15-year fixed-rate mortgage on the smaller house.
That was a smart thing to do.
Which was smart, yeah. So, and like the death of a husband, a divorce can hit the women's finances hard, as I said before. And in a survey last year of 1,700 participants by luxury auction site Worthy, 38% of divorced women ages 55 and older said they encountered financial surprises during the proceedings. Among them was being unaware of the size of the real estate debt, including the mortgage, the home equity line of credit. Many falsely assume that they could keep the marital home because they believe that everything is okay. They don't understand the financial picture.
Right. And the maintenance costs, too, of course.
And really, I agreed. The maintenance costs, just maintaining and the taxes and so on. I think this was kind of eye-opening for me, and it's really encouragement for wives to understand your real estate, understand your financial picture. If your husband is not taking the time to sit you down on a monthly basis and showing you where things are, take the time and make it a priority. Don't let it become an excuse to not know. It's in your best interest and your husband's best interest that you understand these things. We all, God forbid, hope that nothing happens to any spouse and that there's no divorce happening. But with over 50% of marriages failing in America these days, women, you need to take the time to understand this. So we start when she started in the residential mortgage business in 1990, a lady named Mary Bain, a vice president with Loan Depot, says divorced women found it difficult to qualify for a mortgage. You know, Stuart, it's interesting. I was taking a Fair Housing Act class as part of my continuing education for my license in Virginia and D.C. and Maryland. And it was 1974 when the Equal Credit Opportunity Act was passed. And prior to 1974, a woman was prejudiced against in the purchase of real estate because she couldn't get a mortgage by herself unless she had a note from her physician saying that she could not conceive.
Wow. My goodness.
That was 1974. So at that point in time, a change took place. And in fact, if you look at the market for single home purchase among women, it took off from 1974, and now actually single women buy more real estate than single men do. But prior to that, that was a credit gap that women could not cross ultimately until that changed.
Times have changed, fortunately.
You know, I think Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I was going to say that.
You know, she has done so much for our country. She has helped our country by taking the lead and being a woman to take the lead. And in some respects, you kind of need somebody of that, you know, particular prejudice to be the one to take the lead. Right.
That movie that came out not long ago was one that really made that point very clear.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. And I think it's important that we consider that if you think about when a marriage falls apart, you oftentimes have to go to work when you're a mother or when you have lost your husband's income at that point in time. And the problem is oftentimes the job that replaces what income you had coming in.
It's not going to pay as much,
It's just not going to pay as much. Right. So women today don't rely as much on income from child support payments to qualify for a loan. What's more, evolving lender guidelines from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and other government-related entities, they all allow underwriters to take divorce into consideration when looking at loan applicants. That's not in the negative. That's in the positive. Understanding you've gone through a divorce. you have the capability, your credit's good, we're going to give you the opportunity to pay a loan, okay? It's very important that you have a strong support network as well as a good team composed of an attorney, a financial advisor, and an accountant, and this can help ease the transition back into single life for our widows or our divorcees, but don't rush into any decisions. In fact, I've been selling real estate 31 years, and I've worked with widows many, many times over the years and launched Widow Care 5 years ago. But going back about 25 years ago, my broker at the time, Charlie, told me, he said, whenever you meet with a widow, encourage them not to move. When you go over to talk to them, they say that they're thinking about selling the house. It's time to move. Encourage them not to move. Give them an encouragement to winter and summer through the grief, and then consider it once they've cleared their mind.
Absolutely.
And this isn't for all widows because, you know, there are lots of different circumstances. As to, you know, maybe your husband's got a case of dementia and it's been going on for 7 years and you haven't really had a husband in the sense that you did before, right? And so, but everybody has to make that decision for themselves. No major changes, no big decisions when you have a major life-changing event like that.
That's good advice.
Well, it's important that we look out, you know, for our lives, that we take care of ourselves, and I think knowledge is key here. So, if you don't know the financial picture within your relationship, you don't understand how much debt there is, take the time to dig into that further. So, do you know any older adults who have a lot of real estate investments, Stuart?
I'm sure I do. I mean, it's not uncommon.
So oftentimes portfolios include single-family investment, rental homes, apartment buildings, or commercial entities, right?
Right.
So when we're younger, we take pride in managing the investments ourselves, and we work hard on that. I want to encourage our listeners to go to agingparents.com, where worried children are seeking advice, because I know for myself, I'm about midway through life right now. And I'm looking at what I used to enjoy doing, everything I used to really enjoy doing myself.
By yourself, right.
And
right.
Now I'm thinking, you know, I don't really have the same passion that I used to. And that may actually continue to diminish, which is hard to imagine. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I'll never stop wanting to do it myself. But truly, get a handle on where you are, have a plan, take the time, and again, think through whether you have a lot of real estate or a little bit of real estate, think how long you want to have it. If it's cash flow that it's producing for you and you want to keep it and you've got a good management team in place, excellent. Right. But if you're doing it on your own, think about having someone assist you and, you know, giving it kind of like assisted living.
Right.
You know, somebody who cuts the grass. Right. Think about somebody coming in to assist you as you're getting older.
To scale down the number of investments that you have if it's too much for you to handle.
Perhaps. This is true. Yeah. This is true. Good advice as well. So, Stuart, you've been managing the Beacon newspaper now for 29 years?
31.
31 years. My goodness. Wow.
Close.
And congratulations, by the way,
birthday. Thank you.
Yeah. I understand that you're ready to retire. Is that
right? Oh, right. No way. No way. I love what I do, and I don't really want to leave it. So I have a good team that can have. We just went away for 2 weeks for vacation, and they handle everything just great. So it's nice to know that, but I don't want to leave it.
You know, it's interesting that the average retirement age is just 62.
I was shocked to hear that, yes.
Yeah, that's according to WTOP.
I mean, that's the earliest you can start getting Social Security, but to think that that's the average age people retire nowadays, it's not the smartest idea to start to retire that young and start taking Social Security if that's what they're doing, because you really get a lot less of Social Security than if you were to wait on until your full retirement age or even beyond.
Well, especially in this area where there's a lot of federal employment, you can step back out
that's
of the workforce
true.
Earlier.
That's true, if you have a nice pension.
Right. Hey, it's time for Helen Flynn. Helen, good morning.
Thank you, Eric. You know, I was thinking about getting ready to get your house on the market and how people are in such different circumstances in their lives. And my suggestion to you would be if the market is in its hot stage, February, March, April, May, and into June, then stop getting ready and just get on the market. That trumps condition every time, the timing of it. So you don't need to worry about your house being perfect. You can get it on the market as is and have great success.
Thank you, Helen. Helen Flynn of the Eric Stewart Group, seniors real estate specialist, excellent real estate agent in her own right. Timing trumps condition. Think about it. Don't spend all your money getting ready to get the house on the market when the market starts to cool. Put it on the market even if it's not quite ready when the market's hot. Well, time's up for the Senior Solutions Show. I want to thank Stuart Rosenthal for joining me in the studio today.
Pleasure.
My pleasure, too. We'll see you right here next week on Senior Solutions. You know you can hurt yourself.
too much stuff.
Are you over 50 or love someone who is? I'm Stuart Rosenthal, publisher of the Beacon Newspapers, and our paper is meant for you. Our free monthly is packed with well-written topical information, the latest health research, diet and fitness advice, stock market updates, financial planning tips, elder law topics, housing options, plus technology, travel, and arts features, all geared to the needs and interests of people over 50 and their families. The Beacon can be picked up at no charge from more than 1,500 locations throughout the D.C. metro area. Libraries, recreation centers, CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies, churches and synagogues, doctor's offices, and other places where older adults live and shop. And visit our newly updated website, thebeaconnewspapers.com, for even more stories than fit in our printed publication. And to use our new Silver Pages, a searchable database of regional housing, home care, financial planning, and legal services. For more information about the Beacon, including how to advertise your business or event, either in print or online, call 301-949-9766. That's 301-949-9766. Or send us a message at thebeaconnewspapers.com.